before we go to Scripture, if we could bow our heads and pray for guidance, Lord. Gracious Father, we thank you for your precious and your perfect word. We thank you for how your Son in every way is this word come to life. Is this word in flesh? We bless you for it. We thank you for it. We thank that you in the beauty of your holiness made this wonderful covenant with your Son, that through him we might see him, that through his word, by his Spirit, we might be brought to life in you. Help us, Lord, guide us through these wonderful words and this beautiful psalm. Lord, be with this tongue that can halt and stammer. We pray that you show us all you would have us to see and to put on, to walk around with, to grow by. We ask you all of this in your Son's precious and good name. Amen. I'd like to read to you now the psalm, Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Right. To the chief musician, Onan, instrument of Gad. A psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Before we progress through this great psalm, I'd like to point out to you that within it, and we'll be looking at this, just to do a little bit of homework before we go on. In it, we find some wonderful blessings, some beatitudes. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, who dwell in your presence, who dwell with your spirit, in your spirit, by your spirit. Blessed are those. And blessed is the man whose heart, by your strength, by the faith of Christ, is set on pilgrimage, is set on a life of active journey to you. And then the very last, they were in verses 4 and 5, the very last, in verse 12, blessed is the man, and this is the base, this is the root of it. Blessed is the one who simply trusts. Seems so simple. It seems so simple. But Abraham was accounted righteousness, wasn't he? Because he believed. He trusted. And we know that belief, trust, doesn't come from a servile fear. Trust comes from knowing that you love and believe in something that is so strong and is so good, and it will lift you, it will be with you, it will teach you, it will guide you, it will give you strength. And this is what the psalmist is going at right here. So simple. But we are so changeable. Therein lies the problem. And we carry so much sin with us, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it. Until through Scripture, by the Spirit of God, that we're able to look at Him face to face, and then we see who we are and what we have and our baggage and our difficulty. And that's the blessing, because that causes us to fall to our knees, and that calls us to believe not in the stuff we have, but in who He is. There are three really beautiful heads to this psalm. The first is that David, the first heading really has to do with a love and a yearning that is so great. David feels that he's sort of falling apart. The psalmist feels that he's sort of falling apart. Many people believe from times past that David wrote this psalm. It says here, sons of Korah. When we miss those who we love, and it seems as though, and we've invested our lives in someone, and we love them so greatly, and they're gone for quite a while, and the absence is so dramatic in our lives. And sometimes we just yearn until we pine. There is loss of appetite, and pining here really means sort of a death. We're kind of waning inside. We miss them so much, and this is what the psalmist is getting at. That in his love of the presence of God, in his love of that holy hill, in his love of the tabernacle, in his love of the ark, in his love of the presence of God. They had a much more formalized notion of the presence of God, yet God was there. And he misses that. He misses that very special, holy, beautiful presence of God in his life. To the point that everything in him is his heart, the seat of his will, his mind, his heart, that heart-mind complex. Danu, his marrow, Danu was bones, Danu was deep insides. His very flesh. We have an askewed vision of the word flesh. You know, we think, oh, the flesh, bad. Well, sometimes, as far as, you know, certain ideas, it is. But he's talking about everything in us. The nefesh, the Hebrew writers wrote, everything in us that makes us who we are. Everything in us that makes us alive. That flesh. The good stuff, the flesh that God made. He made the flesh, he made Adam. It was good. See, that stuff. And the stuff that's made of. And everything, every atom in David, every atom in the psalmist is just intentionally crying out, because David, the psalmist, is absolutely changeable. And he knows it. And he knows of his great weakness without God. And sometimes, as we ache, sometimes we spiritually ache. Sometimes our heart aches. And we're not quite attuned to it. We don't really know why. That's because we are changeable beings. We're not cast in some die that just is not going to change ever, ever, ever. We're changeable. And we need this constant, loving, wise, strong hand in our lives, in our families, in our hearts. We need that. And the psalmist knows it. He knows it. He knows it. And you know, the interesting thing is that he sees it. He looks at nature, and he sees his weaknesses, his changeability in nature. He sees his lack of steadiness, his poverty in nature, when he looks at the birds. Have you seen the swallows fly? They can't stop. They're flying all over the place. They never land. They land it just for a second, and they're up again. They're flying all over. They fly beautifully, but they make me nervous. They can't. They barrel roll. It's gorgeous how they fly, but they can't stay still. It's as though, and I read myself into this, it's as though they're not content. Now, a swallow is a swallow. A swallow does what a swallow is created to do. But sometimes, when we look at them, we can see things in us that aren't so beautiful. this unrest, this incontent life that we lead, because we're changeable, and because we need this word, and because we need this Lord, and sometimes just for a second we just forget and we turn and we go the other direction. And the psalmist says, no, 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 I don't want that ever. He paints us another picture of the sparrow, the poor little birds, eke out a living. They were considered, with the pigeons, just poor little birds. And only the poorest people could offer the sparrows as a gift to God, as an offering. Poor little birds. But they have a home. The psalmist is not... He feels as though right now he doesn't have this home. He doesn't have his dwelling place. He misses God. He misses the presence of God. Have you ever been so discontent and so hit up by a spiritual poverty? You just feel poor in spirit. You feel weight. Sometimes it's good just then to put everything down and to go to this song. Go to Christ. Ask Him. Reassure me, O Lord, what is it in me? Why do I change? Why do I change? Change. Sometimes pride makes us change. Sometimes we listen to people and ourselves, not the Word. That can make us change. We need to be set in this word, this wonderful word, and in this wonderful hope that comes from it, this freedom and this liberty that comes from it. They have found a place to live, a place to dwell, a place not to dart in and out of, not a pad, not a little apartment room, not a little rooming house room. There are times in our lives when we need that, but we need a home. I'm not saying that apartments aren't our homes. I'm saying that if you live like I lived years ago, I never dwelt where I lived. I just, my clothes were there, my food was there, my stuff was there, and I was never there because it reflected the mess in my life, and I didn't like looking at it. That's what I mean. But to find a home in Christ and know that He welcomes you there. Know that He's there. And sometimes we forget that. Now He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, who dwell, who live there, who abide there, who grow there, who are nourished there, who stay there. That's their home. Not their digs.
Cover the Galena now, change, have a bite, leave. No, that's their home. They abide there. They stay there. They love it there. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. You know, John saw what the psalmist here is alluding to, though he may not be fully aware of it. John saw something very clear. We turn to John 1:14. Go with me there if you'd like, just for a moment. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt with us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. Skene is the Greek word. It refers to tabernacling, living with us for a while. And we can look and we can say, how beautiful was your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts, who dwelt with a man for a while. How much more perfect and how much more beautiful it's going to be in the future, that great day. When we know we have a home. When we won't be so inconstant. As a matter of fact, we won't, by His grace, being glorified. We won't be constant. We won't be changeable. Ever glorifying Him. The second heading is really begins with the second little beatitude here. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Blessed are the ones who by the power of the Holy Spirit can operate the strength and the faith of Christ as they go on this life. It's a movable thing. It's not a stagnant, not a set sort of a thing. This life is a movable feast with God. We are going in this incredibly wonderful direction, just as though these people were going up the hill, up the mountain to the temple, up the mountain to the temple, to see the temple, to visit, to worship, to have fellowship with God. It was set on a hill, set on a mountain, in a mountainous area, Jerusalem was. There were valleys all around. And they would go up the mountain. That's the phrase, you know, going up to Jerusalem, up to the temple, up to the mount. Well, you know, generally, when we use a map, we'll say up meaning north or down meaning south. You know? Well, you could go up. You could be going south of the temple and you'd still be going up. He was talking about elevation, going up. And he was also talking about a spiritual elevation, going up. Up to the house of God. Up from these valleys. And they would see the glow of the city. They'd see the reflective gold from the dome. From the temple itself, the Temple Mount, reflecting into the clouds and reflecting back. You see the beauty of God.
situated in glory. But they came up. They came up from depths. It says here that blessed is the man. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I may dare say from you, by you. Whose heart is set because of Christ's love for God. Because of the indwelling Spirit. Pushes us, drives us, leads us. Woos us on and strengthens us, you see. As we go through tough times. This is why this phrase is so, this verse is so magnified with the term blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Because if our hearts aren't set, if our hearts aren't strengthened by the love of Christ to God, to His Father, if our hearts don't have that kind of strength, we're not going to make it. It takes that kind of stuff. Grief can be too great. You know, all the young ones in this, I say young ones, I shouldn't say young ones, the ones who are, you know, under 30, I'll say that. I hope you never go through what I went through. But you're gonna go through grief. You're gonna hit times that are so hard and so tough. They're gonna come at you, and you're gonna go through spiritual valleys, and they're gonna be hard, and they're gonna be scary. And that's why your parents want to nurture you now. That's why we want you to get into this wonderful word, these wonderful promises of strength. Because you're going to get hit. And you're going to be grieved. And your heart's going to be broken. You're going to go through a valley of Baca. Maybe several valleys of Baca. Valleys of weeping. Again, we have a very creative picture here of what the Jews saw as they were coming up the city, and as they were coming up to worship. They would go through these valleys, and one was literally called the Valley of Baca. These mulberry trees, and according to their imagination, these trees were, it was like they were weeping. They would take on the water from the rain, and they would just sort of absorb it for a while, and then they would just drip like these big tears, these weeping. And they'd say to their children, see, that's what we go through. That's what we go through. We go through tears. But on the other side, there are these beautiful pools that God had created for them from this Valley of Baca. And how these pools, this refreshing, God refreshes us in his fellowship with us, in his faithfulness to us, as he calls us to persevere, as he calls us to hang in there with one another, by the way, because people weren't alone going up to the city. They were going up by their families and clans, and they'd meet others coming up, and then they would grow from strength to strength, which is mentioned here. They'd grow in numbers and grow in strength as they went up to worship, you see? And they could relate to one another. Times in their life, when times are so tough, but God was there, and he made these tears into pools in their lives. You see what I'm trying to say? And that's what he does. That's his promise to you. That's his promise to me. He leads us
guides us through the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. Our shepherd, the great Baca, the great grief, the great fears. He leads us through, our champion, our victor, our Lord of hosts, the one who comes before us, our sword and our shield, he says a little later on here. He doesn't just drop us off and say, okay, I'll be with you at the other end. Good luck. You have my word. And I'll see you whenever. Bye-bye. Doesn't drop us off. He's our hero. He's our champion. And he goes out before us. And he guides us through sometimes terror, sometimes loneliness, sometimes great pain. It's going to happen. I'm not a prophet, but it's going to happen. But he'll be there in that valley of Baca. With you, guiding you, feeding you, and he will be there at the end with you, and he will make it a blessing. You will see how all things he made for good for you individually, for you as his church, to all who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things. And that way they can give testimony as they go from strength to strength. They can give testimony to God's goodness, God's presence. See, he's not just present at the temple. It ends with this remarkable prayer. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield. The first time that is used, it's used with Abraham as far as God and us. It's used with Abraham when he says, I am. Well, let's go back to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield. He's our son and our shield, our life, our health. We bloom because of him. We are courageous because of his protection. All the Israelites had to do was just to show up for the battle. Just to man up, trust God, then man up rather, and to turn up for the battle. And he would be their shield, and he would go before them and wipe out the enemy. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield. And look upon the face of your anointed one. Of your anointed. But what is he saying here? He's saying, O God, behold our shield. Didn't God say to Abraham, I am your shield? Yes, he did. He's talking about God the Father and God the Son. God the Father and the anointed one, the Messiah. As far as the earth was concerned, and their culture was concerned, it could have been the king, Mashiach, the king, the anointed one, representing the Messiah. But that's what he's really pointing to right here. Oh God, behold our eternal shield, our everlasting shield. Our anointed one, your anointed one. The face, the person of your anointed one. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Have you ever had a moment that was so wonderful? That was so serene, so perfect, that you never wanted to trade it with anything else ever. But you had to leave, you had to go. That moment ended. And yet you thought, what is the worth of this moment? We take that and we magnify it by the power of eternity, by the power of infinity. A day in your courts. In our language, he would say, a day in your courts is inestimable. That's what he's really saying here. He's not just saying, oh, one day equals 1,000. Not 1,001. No, no, no. He's not really saying that. He's saying a day in your courts is of inestimable worth. I can't get it. I can't go on the other side of it. I can't go around that. I can't fully grip. I can't fully take full notion of or full account of the worth of that day. And I can't help but think about that great day, which turns into that great eternity. That great day when there will never be a night ever again. When that the Lord Jesus will be the Son. The light of the Lamb will be the Son. And there will be no need for a temple, for Jesus will be our temple. Our dwelling place. You see, and this is what we're, by God's amazing, wonderful power and loving strength and faithful guidance in our lives. This is where we're heading, and we can experience it by faith now. And I don't mean to, you know, I believe me, I don't, when we say by faith, sometimes you put it in sort of a subcategory, and we say, well, that's by faith. It's not real. It's not tangible. It's by faith. You've got to understand. No. By faith is much stronger and much bolder and much greater. That's what we've got to get into our heads and our hearts. By the faith of Christ, we can know that we are in His presence now, and that we have, as John has said so much more beautifully than any man can, that we have entered into eternity with Him now, right now. And this faith strengthens us to love and to obey and to prosper through Him and to walk into grief, to walk into sorrow, to walk into pain, knowing He's with us. And by His grace, we will walk out of that. And He would have turned that pain, that sorrow, that grief, into pools for us as we keep on walking toward heaven, as He leads us. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts You. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that those who were, by the faith given them, who were drawn into Your presence to the temple, drawn by Your Holy Spirit into that rich and wonderful abiding relationship with You, that they are still, as the psalmist says, they are still praising You. And let us praise You with them. Let us thank You for these words of promise, for these words of challenge, to look at our inconstancy and to look at Your faithfulness and to put down our changeability as best we can, to trust You, to receive that blessing, to want to abide in You and You in us, to receive that blessing. And to, by Your great strength, follow You through times of difficulty, through that valley of Baca, to victory, Lord, which You've won for us. Lord, we ask You to be the one who blesses us into. And be with these Your people, these Your saints, Lord. Hold them. Give them the strength to believe and to follow. To trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.